Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild pervitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks,
insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose,
The host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give
sanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial.
The host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the
above
problems
that you may experience.
We simply could not give
sanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose.
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Thank you very much. My fellow Americans, my first and highest duty as president is to defend our great country and the American people. I swore an oath to uphold the laws of our nation, and that is exactly what I will do. All Americans were rightly sickened and revolted by the brutal death of George Floyd. My administration is fully committed that for George and his family, justice will be served. He will not have died in vain. But we cannot allow the righteous cries and peaceful protesters to be drowned out by an angry mob. The biggest victims of the rioting are peace-loving citizens in our poorest communities. And as their president, I will fight to keep them safe. I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters. But in recent days, our nation has been gripped by professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others. A number of state and local governments have failed to take necessary action to safeguard their residents. Innocent people have been savagely beaten, like the young man in Dallas, Texas, who was left dying on the street, or the woman in upstate New York, viciously attacked by dangerous thugs. Small business owners have seen their dreams utterly destroyed. New York's finest have been hit in the face with bricks. Brave nurses who have battled the virus are afraid to leave their homes. A police precinct has been overrun here in the nation's capital. The Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Memorial have been vandalized. One of our most historic churches was set ablaze. A federal officer in California, an African American enforcement hero, was shot and killed. These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror. The destruction of innocent life and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God. America needs creation, not destruction. Cooperation, not contempt. Security, not anarchy. Healing, not hatred. Justice, not chaos, This is our mission, and we will succeed 100%. We will succeed. Our country always wins. That is why I am taking immediate presidential action to stop the violence and restore security and safety in America. I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights. Therefore, the following measures are going into effect immediately. First, we are ending the riots and lawlessness that has spread throughout our country. We will end it now. Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace. As we speak, I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property. We are putting everybody on warning. Our 7 o'clock curfew will be strictly enforced. Those who threaten innocent life and property will be arrested, detained, and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I want the organizers of this terror to be on notice that you will face severe criminal penalties and lengthy sentences in jail. This includes Antifa and others who are leading instigators of this violence. One law and order, and that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law. And once that is restored and fully restored, we will help you, we will help your business, and we will help your family. America is founded upon the rule of law. It is the foundation of our prosperity, our freedom, and our very way of life. But where there is no law, there is no opportunity. Where there is no justice, there is no liberty. Where there is no safety, there is no future. We must never give in to anger or hatred. If malice or violence reigns, then none of us is free. I take these actions today with firm resolve and with a true and passionate love for our country. By far, our greatest days lie ahead. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to pay my respects to a very, very special place. Thank you very much.
For those of you who don't recognize the voice, that was President Donald Trump earlier today, right about 6 o'clock Eastern, in the Rose Garden. You heard him specifically mention Antifa. I see, and others. He didn't say who the others are. But we know, we now have confirmation, there have actually been reports now that Antifa has been behind a lot of the instigation, which has led to the rioting, burning of buildings, beatings of people, destruction of private property, looting. To be honest with you, I'm surprised we haven't had a rape or two yet. I should probably be careful what I say because we might end up with a few of those before the night is out. Today, as I was working as usual, listening to talk radio. I was listening to Larry Elder. Now, Larry Elder comes on at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern on our local, or not our local, but on townhall.com, I believe it is. Welcome to everybody in the chat room, by the way. And as I was listening to Larry Elder, some jackass called in and started talking about mandatory conscription. Well, if everybody has to mandatory serve a specific amount of time with the military, they will learn about the disciplines and all that. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you that the American people will not tolerate mandatory conscription. The only time that works, and America has had a long standing of this policy, that mandatory conscription, also known as the draft, is only acceptable during times of war, not during times of peace. This is not Israel. This is not Nazi Germany and Hitler's Youth Brigade. We know Obama tried to get something like that going, but thankfully he failed. Mandatory conscription does not work in the United States unless we are under a time of war. And unless Donald Trump is willing to declare war, then mandatory conscription isn't going to work. And if he does declare war, who will he be declaring war against? We know the war on terror still reigns, and you cannot terrorism is an ideology. It has no face, and you cannot fight a war against an ideology. It doesn't work. You have to put a face to it. So who are you going to wage war against? If you want to instill the draft or reinstate the draft, you must declare war. So who are you going to declare war against? The American people? Well, those of us that have been paying attention, those of us that do our homework, we already know that thanks to the Patriot Act, the Victory Act, and so many other acts, the NDAA, and I could go on and on and on, the federal government has already made the American people the enemy. We're just waiting on gunfire to begin. Now, I see in the chat room you mentioned a posse comitatus. Well, I'm going to explain this again. I did this last night and the night before, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to explain to you how posse comitatus works. Whosoever, this is according to Section 1385 of Title 18 U.S. State Code, states clearly that whosoever, except in case and under circumstances expressly authorized by the Constitution or Act of Congress, willfully uses any part of the Army or Air Force as a posse comitatus or otherwise to execute the laws, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 2 years or both. That means the president, technically, under Section 1385 of Title 18 of the U.S. State U.S. States Code, the U.S.C., even the president cannot call that the military, the Army, or the Air Force. Now, here's how this works. The Posse Comitatus Act does not apply to the U.S. Coast Guard or to the National Guard. Now, we find evidence of this in Title 32. And those of state active duty status. Although the PCA, the Posse Comitatus Act, prohibits only the Army and the Air Force from performing domestic law enforcement activities, another statute, 10 U.S.C. Section 275, requires the Secretary of Defense to prescribe regulations to prohibit members of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines from direct participation in any search, seizure, arrest, or other similar activities unless participation in such activity by such members is otherwise authorized by law. Now, the Department of Defense Instruction 3025.21 implements the prohibitions required under the PCA and 10 U.S.C. Section 275. This means that the United States Coast Guard and the United States National Guard, well, actually, it's not the United States National Guard. The National Guard is by state. Georgia National Guard, Virginia National Guard, Kentucky National Guard, California National Guard, Idaho, whatever the state may be, each state has its own National Guard. But the U.S. Coast Guard and the National Guard can be used in instances as we are seeing right now taking place in the United States. So let's everybody stop flipping out. Because unless the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines are called in, there is no violation of posse comitatus. This is why what happened at Waco was not a violation of posse comitatus, because it was not the Army, it was the National Guard that was called in. So, with that, let's continue. We all know who Ilhan Omar is. Well, apparently, you know, see, she, her family escaped, you know, a war-ravaged country and all of the, you would think that this woman would know the difference between an APC, which is an armored personnel carrier, a Humvee, a tank. You would think she would know the difference between these things. But apparently, well, apparently she doesn't. Get a load of this. Okay, maybe not.
I know you've been in the community day and night for the last 6 days and urging people to stay home after the curfew. Did the National Guard get things under control last night?
I think last night the community did feel safe to know that there will not be a burning of their businesses and their homes. We were obviously worried and feeling terrorized about that prospect. But there really was also many people who chose to demonstrate and not abide by the curfew, who felt like they also were terrorized by the presence of tanks, by the presence of the National Guard and a militarized police. And so for us, it's what we are trying to do is try to figure out something between extreme aggression and ways to figure out how to not get our city burned down. And it's a challenge. And as you said, George, our country is in pain. People can't get that image of George Floyd having the life choked out of him by a police officer who was supposed to protect and serve our community. But this also is a reminder that we are living in a country that has truly, for a long time, brutalized African Americans, from slavery to lynching to Jim Crow to mass incarceration and now to police brutality. And in Minneapolis, where we have one of the worst racial disparities, people are also understanding that there has been severe social and economic neglect in our communities. And so we have real work to do to heal, to begin to rebuild, and to figure out a system that works for all of us.
You know, the one thing about this woman that just drives me nuts. Have you ever noticed how when she talks, it's like all this emphasis on certain words, especially when she gets mid-sentence where there might be a comma or at the end of the sentence where she just has to emphasize that word? You just want to just slap the snot out of this woman. But here's the one. You would think, having come from a country where, you know, when she was little and they left the country, you know, and during times of war, you would think she'd know the difference between a tank and an APC carrier. I want to know, in any of these cities, now I've been following the live feeds. When I call it a day at about 4 o'clock, I come in and I boot up my other computer, and I will get 5 or 6 live feeds from around the country so I can watch the protests that are taking place in 5 or 6 different cities. Unless I get lucky like this one where it was showing a split screen of 4 different cities all at one time, which really makes it really cool because then you can follow even more cities of what's going on. And then you can shut audio off and turn audio on for each one so you can kind of get an idea of what's happening in the various cities as they're reporting on what's happening. And as I was, over the past few days, as I've been watching and they show the National Guard and you see the vehicles there, I have not seen one tank. Even in Minnesota, where I watched a parade of military vehicles rolling into downtown Minneapolis, I did not see one tank. I saw a couple Humvees and some armored personnel carriers. And that's exactly what they are, armored personnel carriers. It's a way to transport military personnel safely, because the only thing that's going to penetrate that armor is going to be like an RPG or something like that that has, you know, armor-piercing capabilities. That's why it's called an armored personnel carrier. And you can put, like, I think, if I remember correctly, you can put like 12 people in one. But she clearly doesn't know what an APC is. And then this concept that the people, many people decided to stay and to continue to protest because they felt threatened, or what was her word, terrorized by the presence of tanks. Well, you know, it's been my experience, when anyone feels terrorized, they generally run away. They don't stay in an area where they feel terrorized. They run away. I do believe that I labeled tonight's broadcast PG-13. For a reason. Because I knew when I got to talking about this dizzy bitch, I was going to have to use some strong language. And that's exactly what she is. She's a dumbass, dizzy bitch who hasn't got a clue. In fact, every time she opens her mouth, here's what I hear.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Every time she opens her mouth, that's what I hear. Her, Rashida Tlaib, that dizzy ass, I can't even remember her first name, last name, Presley, AOC, Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, every time they open their mouth, that's what I hear, Barack Obama. How in the name of Sam damn hell does a country of supposedly intelligent, educated, free-thinking individuals elect this kind of shit to serve in Congress? Beats the snot out of me. It just makes absolutely no damn sense to me whatsoever. None. Okay, I'm going to boot my feeds back up here so I can look and see what we got going on. I watched a high-speed chase earlier today in Forswearja. Daylin E's in the chat room says, 4 swear jars last night. Well, you better break out that fifth one because I'm going to fill that motherfucker quick. Anyway, I watched the high-speed chase today out there. I believe it was, once again, Santa Clara or it was either San Jose or Santa Monica, California. There was some looting again today. Only this time the cops went after them. And what they were doing is they were driving cars in. I'm not kidding you, man. They were driving their cars in, covering over their tags so nobody could get the tag number. Driving in, loading their vehicles up with stuff, and then driving out, unloading, and then coming back. Just nuts. Let me see. This is Los Angeles, California. This is Van Nuys, SkyMap 7, watching the helicopter. Progression seems pretty peaceful. As they approached the intersection, the cops kind of blocked them off and forced them to walk in a different direction. Let me see. San Francisco is dealing with a massive fire at Fisherman's Wharf. Jesus, Jiminy frickin' crickets. I mean, they burnt that bitch slap to the frickin' ground. Insane. Surprised the ship didn't catch fire. Rupley is covering D.C., and right now it appears pretty quiet in D.C. New York City, as we look at New York City, it's on New York's Channel 4 NBC News. Seems very quiet. Chopper 4 overhead. Looks like everything's pretty quiet. Nothing going on there. As we look at Atlanta, I believe this is Atlanta. Yes, this is my Atlanta feed. Seems pretty quiet. Doesn't seem like anything going on there. Atlanta, interestingly enough, has a 9 o'clock 10 curfew. Dale Anise in the chat room says there in my city right now was a 6 o'clock curfew, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Yeah, a lot of cities have either a 6 or a 8 or a 9 p.m. curfew. It seems like that those seem to be the more typical curfew times, 6, 8, and 9. I believe there was yesterday there were a few 4 o'clock curfews, but those didn't quite go over so well, so I think they moved them back to like 6. And I believe that's like your area as well. As we look at another D.C. feed, looks we see police are moving. They're moving in on something. Don't know what's going on. They've got shields raised and moving in slowly. Apparently, the crowd was getting a little too close, so the police just L.A. was 4 p.m. Okay, to 6 a.m. That's what it was. I knew it was somewhere out there in California, and you guys are not far from Santa Monica, if I remember correctly. But this other feed in D.C. seems pretty peaceful, although the people got a little bit too close, and so the cops pushed them back there. What I found interesting, I was talking about earlier today, I mentioned the one of the feeds was showing a split screen of 4 cities, was Louisville, Detroit, Louisiana, or I'm sorry, New Orleans, and I believe L.A., if I remember correctly. And watching the Detroit feed, there was this one woman was talking about how they had come down with, I guess it initially started with like five people or something like that. And then it kind of grew and grew and grew. And she's like, I'm going to stay here until everybody that I'm responsible for goes home. And I'm responsible for all of these people. There's like hundreds of people there. I'm responsible for all of these people. And I'm telling them at curfew time that they need to go home. But if they decide to stay and ignore the curfew, that's on them, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then she says, "You I want all you white people, you non-blacks, as she called it, you non-blacks. You are here as our guests at our protest. Bitch, who the fuck do you think you are? Who died and made you wee willy winky? It pissed me off as I'm listening to these cocksuckers talking. They're you white folk, you don't know what it's like to be beat down by cops. Let me tell you something. I do know what it's like to be beat down by cops. I've taken more than my share of ass whoopings by cops. And you know what my crime was? I was hitchhiking. They wanted to rip through my backpacks without a warrant. That backpack was my home. I invoked my Fourth Amendment protections to be safe and secure and my person's papers in effect. And they beat the shit out of me. And then robbed me. So don't tell me I don't know what it's like. I know exactly what it's like. Now, I also said last night and the night before last that all this looting, the rioting, the destruction of property, burning down buildings, and all of this, all of this stuff takes away from your message. This is Martin Luther King being interviewed. You pull the straw man on the cops. Hey, dude, I don't back down. I do not back down. That's in the chat room. You pull the straw man on the cops. I don't back down. I don't give a damn from anybody. When I stood in town a couple months ago when Governor Kemp first declared the stay-home order, I stood in town, and I declared in front of everybody, I will not comply. Kiss my ass. I will not comply. Anyway, this is September 27th, 1966. This is a very young Mike Wallace interviewing Martin Luther King.
60 Minutes. Rewind.
Now what I'm saying is this. I would like for all of us to believe in nonviolence, but I'm here to say tonight that if every Negro in the United States turns against nonviolence, I'm going to stand up as a lone voice and say this is the wrong way.
I will never change in my basic idea that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to the Negro in his struggle for freedom and justice. I think for the Negro to turn to violence would be both impractical and immoral.
There is an increasingly vocal minority who disagreed totally with your tactics, Dr. King.
There's no doubt about that. I will agree that there is a group in the Negro community advocating violence now. I happen to feel that this group represents a numerical minority. Surveys have revealed this. The vast majority of Negroes still feel that the best way to deal with the dilemma that we face in this country is through nonviolent resistance. And I don't think this vocal group will be able to make a real dent in the Negro community in terms of swaying 22 million Negroes to this particular point of view. And I contend that the cry of black power is at bottom a reaction to the reluctance of white power to make the kind of changes necessary to make justice a reality for the Negro. I think we've got to see that a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the economic plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years.
How many summers like this one do you imagine that we can expect?
Well, I would say this, we don't have long. The mood of the Negro community now is one of urgency, one of saying that we aren't going to wait, that we've got to have our freedom. We've waited too long. So that I would say that every summer we are going to have this kind of vigorous protest. My hope is that it will be nonviolent. I would hope that we can avoid riots because riots are self-defeating and socially destructive. I would hope that we can avoid riots, but that we will be as militant and as determined next summer and through the winter as we have been this summer. And I think the answer about how long it will take will depend on the federal government, on the city halls of our various cities, and on white America to a large extent. This is where we are at this point, and I think white America will determine how long it will be and which way we go in the future.
Even Senator Jacob Javits asked the question recently. He said that he was a slum resident, but he and some of his fellow Jews were able to make it out of the ghetto on the Lower East Side. The same thing is true with lots of Irish, Italians. And he asked the question why the Negro finds it so difficult to make his way up out of the ghetto. You
well,
did.
Number one, no other racial group has been a slave on American soil. It's nice to say other people were down and they got up. They were not slaves on American soil. The other thing is that the Negro has had high visibility. And because of the prejudices existing in this country, his color has been against him. It's been against him, and they've used this to keep him from moving up. And the final analysis, when you say to a man that you are in this position because of your race or because of your color, you say to that man that he can never get out of it. Other racial groups have been able maybe to change the accent or change the names, but the Negro can't.
In the chat room there, I'm not saying, Art, I'm not saying, I'm in no way saying you back down from the cops. I was just implying that I believe that you meant implying that when you were approached by the police and they asked you for ID, you refused because you'd not committed a crime. Oh, I know what you were saying. I was just making a comment. But yeah, I mean, I what's your probable cause? You know, where's your SAF, which is specific and articulate fact, SAF, that I've done anything illegal? And they don't like it when you challenge their authority. But anyway, that was Martin Luther King. One thing he said, though, that is wrong, when he said that no other color ever been a slave on American soil. And that's not true. There were indeed white slaves in early America. Now, it was before the founding of the country, but there were even some white slaves after the founding of the country. My grandfather and my great-grandfather, and as pointed out in the chat room, Irish. There were Irish slaves. They're white. But my grandfather and my great-grandfather were sharecroppers. What the fuck do you think a damn sharecropper is? It's a polite way of saying slave. My family has only been free for two generations or three. I'm the second generation of free, of my family being free. I'm only the second generation. My mama was born into it. But after Grandpa was released from his obligation, that's when my family was free. So don't tell me white people weren't slaves. Sharecropper is nothing but a polite way of saying slave. I've got a note here I took earlier. As I was listening to Sebastian Gorka earlier today, he had a Bernard Bailey Carrick. That's Bernard, B-E-R-N-A-R-D, Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, Carrick, K-E-R-I-K. Now, he is former police officer, consultant, and former New York police commissioner. And he was asked, Sebastian Gorka asked him, if he had, when looking at these protests, these riots and stuff, and Hamestrap in the chat room pointing out there were also black slave owners. Absolutely, there was. In fact, on this issue, it was the Africans who were selling their own people to the Jewish slave traders, and the Jewish slave traders are the ones who brought the blacks over here who had been sold to them by their own people. So you want to be mad at somebody? Motherfucker, be mad at your own people. Because it's your own people that sold y'all into slavery. But anyway, Sebastian Gorka asked Bernard Kareck, when looking at these protests that have turned violent and such things as this, the looting and all of that, it's obvious we know damn good and well, he didn't say damn because he's too polite for that, but he said we know that someone is paying for all of this stuff to be done. Do you have any suspicions on who you think it might be? And Kareck immediately, without hesitation, said one of the first individuals he would look at would be George Soros. Very interesting. Okay. Hey, you know, it is what it is, man. Let me see what else we got going on here. Oh, yeah. I got a clip. What? I bet y'all don't know who this is. I played that clip by Martin Luther King. Also, Martin Luther King was a card-carrying communist, by the way. So was Nelson Mandela and, hell, I can't think of the other guy's name, but it might come to me later. But anyway, you heard Martin Luther King when he said, if every Negro in America were to turn against nonviolence, in other words, become violent and riot, I would be a lone voice to stand up against it. I wonder if any of you can tell me who this is.
And just saw my homegirl Nikki from South Lawn lost her son, man. Our young generation is clearly lost, man. Clearly lost, man. Like, I don't even know what to say no more, man. Like, you youngsters just going around, just busting guns in crowds, kids getting killed, you know, and it's clearly the generation after us, man, that's so lost, man. You know, man, I came back to Houston and a nigga told me, yeah, Florida, that young nigga the truth, man, right there, because he could bust a gun. Man, I knew it was crazy. Then a nigga my age saying this here, man, you know what I'm saying? And condoning this shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? And like half them young niggas shooting them guns go home and they knees shaking at night. But they don't show it to nobody because, you know, they ain't tough then. Hey, man, come on home, man. One day it's going to be you and God. You going up or you going down. You know what I'm saying?
That was none other than George Floyd speaking against violence. Here is George Floyd's brother.
Now to an ABC News exclusive. We are joined live by George Floyd's younger brother, Terrence Floyd, along with his minister, the Reverend Kevin McCall. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for your time this morning. And first and foremost, Terrence, our condolences continue to go out to you and your family. Can only imagine what this past week has been like. I know that you travel from New York to be there in Minneapolis because you want to visit the site where your brother died. Can you just let us know your thoughts going into what we know will be an emotional visit for you, Terrence?
Yes, that's correct. I came here from Brooklyn, New York, and I just wanted to, when I found out the news, like I said, it's been just devastating. I'm still a little numb about it, but I got people in my corner just being there for me. So going there tomorrow. I just want to feel my brother's spirit. I just want to, I don't know, for lack of better terms, just connect with him again. That's basically what I want when I go to that site.
Well, no, I'm sure that will be quite an experience for you, and I hope that you will feel his spirit and be able to connect with him like you want. Let people know what your brother was like. What do you want people to know about him? We've heard that he was referred to as a gentle giant.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. He was a gentle giant. He was about peace, unity. When you spoke to him, he always wanted to motivate you, no matter what you was going through. You know, he always saw the light of the brighter side of things, and he made you feel like you could just do anything, like you could rule the world, even if you're going through something. That's just how he spoke to you. And I just remember, you know, times when I did speak to him, whether it was in person or over the phone. You know, he just really, really helped me, really. Yeah, he was a motivator. I'm just gonna. That's how I could just sum it up. He was a motivator. Peaceful motivator.
Yes, I know. And he would appreciate that the majority of the protests have been peaceful, but as you know, Terrence, is being overshadowed by those who are exploiting the protests. Are you and the family concerned that will take away from the message, the call for justice in this, for your family and in this country?
Yes. Yes, I do feel like it's overshadowing what's going on, because, like I said, he was about peace, he was about unity, but the things that's transpiring now, they may call it unity, but it's destructive unity. It's not what he was about. That's not what my brother was about.
That's not what my brother was about. But you heard George Floyd in his own words talking about how the younger generation is lost. And this is the point I was making last night and the night before. These people engaging in riots, destruction of property, smashing cars, lighting cars on fire, burning down buildings, attacking cop cars. I was talking with a young man today in town. I had to go into town to do my laundry. And I was talking to a young black man in town. And I was asking him how he felt about all of this. And he said that all of the rioting and everything that was going on is destroying the message. This was a young black man. And everybody I talked to in town today, I didn't talk to any white folk at all. I specifically targeted black people because I wanted to get their input on how they felt. And every damn one of them said the same thing. The rioting and the looting and all of this is destroying the message. And as long as it continues, the message will not be heard. And in fact, this young black man, he said, they're all pissed off because of what the cops did that killed you and how, you know, how the cops have treated George Floyd and how he died. And he even mentioned, he spoke about the fella up there in New York that got choked out. His name escapes me now. He mentioned the young 12-year-old boy. And he said people are upset about all of this, but what they don't realize is that as long as they continue to engage in this violent behavior, looting and burning down buildings and all of this stuff, the message will never be heard. And they're doing they want to complain about police brutality and all of this stuff, but then they turn around and they act in such a way as to invite more aggression. And this coming from like a 21, 22-year-old Eric Gardner. That was the guy in New York that got choked out. But this 21-year-old, 22-year-old, this is what he was saying. So, if you're hearing these words and you're anywhere where these protests are taking place, talk to folks and let them know that if you allow this to continue, your message is not going to be heard. Nobody's going to listen. As long as you keep acting, as long as you allow this to happen, no one's going to hear your message. Your voice will be lost. Because all people are going to see is the rioting, the looting, the burning of buildings, the destruction of property, and so on. That's all people are going to see. Because people will always see the bad before they see the good. One final thing this evening before we go. At AmericanPolicy.org, there's a petition to stop the COVID-19 Trace Act. This is House Resolution 6666. Yeah, don't even get me started on that. House Resolution 6666. Stop. This is the Trace Act. This is the targeting something and contacting everyone act. Can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's the COVID-19 Trace Act. At AmericanPolicy.org, there's a petition urging Donald Trump to veto this sucker. If this bill passes the Senate, the House has pushed it through. If it passes the Senate and goes to Trump and he signs it, this will make mandatory that you must submit to COVID-19 testing, which means a swab stick stuck up your nose all the way into your sinus cavity and, as one nurse described it, rupturing the membrane. In other words, it ain't gonna feel so good. I signed the petition, so I'm asked, and if I signed it, if I don't sign it, I'm sure certainly not gonna ask you to sign it, but I signed it, so I'm asking you, go sign this petition. Tell Trump, veto this bill. Again, it's House Resolution 6666, and it's the COVID-19 Trace Act. All right. Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, American Renegade with Art Underground, 3 hours, 7 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. PM Pacific. Gotta correct that. Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. American Renegade with Art Underground. 3 hours of doing what I do here on BTR. Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Every Tuesday, Suzette Live Talk. Wednesday night instrumental begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Wednesday night instrumentals playing music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and today, karaoke style. Thursday night is Tunes with RZ, playing some of his favorite music for you. It begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. 5 p.m. Pacific. Friday, spend the night with Smokey as he plays for you some of his favorite music, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And on Saturday, RZ's Saturday Free Speech Zone, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. All of that, Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio, the channel is, Spreaker.com, the channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. I'm having a hard time today, folks. It's been a rough 6 days now. So, I'm tired of this. I really am. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. Thanks for your comments. Again, AmericanPolicy.org. Find the petition Stop the COVID-19 Trace Act, House Resolution 6666. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. I'm Art Underground. Till next time, be safe out there. See you tomorrow.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.